Turn your Bibles to Jonah chapter 1. We're going to start at the very end of chapter 1. And as you're turning there, a man went to the doctor. Charlie, you got to pay attention to this one, okay? Man went to the doctor. He explained his problem. He said, "Doc, every single morning I have a bowel movement exactly at 7 a.m. sharp." The doctor, puzzled, said to the man, "Well, that's a good problem. It's very healthy to be regular and have a bowel movement every morning at 7 o'clock. The man said, "Doc, you don't understand. I have my bowel movement at 7 a.m., but I don't get up until 8. Caused a little problem there, Charlie. Amen. So this morning we're going to continue in our study in the book of Jonah, looking at Jonah and Nineveh. And last week we began to look at that study, and we saw how God calls his servant, his prophet Jonah, to arise and go to this great city called Nineveh and cry against it, to preach, to witness to the inhabitants of Nineveh, to have them repent, turn from their sins, and turn unto the Lord. So what does Jonah do? He runs about 2,500 miles in the complete opposite direction. Instead of going to Nineveh, the Bible tells us that he runs and hides down inside a ship, heading down to Joppa. And Jonah was clearly heading down the wrong path. And as we're going to see, God had more trouble getting his own prophet, his own servant, to listen, to respond, than he did getting an entire wicked, unsaved city to repent. Now remember, Nineveh was the ancient capital of the Assyrian Empire. It was a major hub. It was a city full of people, but also a city full of sin and wickedness. And their sin, their wickedness, had them on a direct collision course with God's wrath and his judgment. They needed someone to stand in the gap for that city. And God called upon Jonah, his prophet, his servant, to be that man. But instead, we left off. Anyone remember where Jonah was? Yeah, let's look at verse 17 in Jonah chapter 1, verse 17. "Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and 3 nights." Let's continue reading in chapter 2. "Then Jonah prayed to the Lord, his God, from the fish's belly. And he said, 'I cried out to the Lord because of my affliction, and he answered me. Out of the belly of Sheol I cried, and you heard my voice. For you cast me into the deep, into the heart of the seas, and the floods surrounded me. All your billows and your waves passed over me. Then I said, I have been cast out of your sight. Yet will I look again toward your holy temple. The waters surrounded me even to my soul. The deep closed around me. Weeds were wrapped around my head. I went down to the moorings of the mountains. The earth was its bars closed behind me forever. Yet you have brought up my life from the pit, O Lord my God. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer went up to you, into your holy temple. Those who regard worthless idols forsake their own mercy, but I will sacrifice to you with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay what I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord." So we see Jonah. And chapter 2, this whole chapter, is dedicated to Jonah's prayer. And the first thing I want us to think about with Jonah's prayer is where Jonah prayed. Right in verse 1 of chapter 2, "Then Jonah prayed to the Lord his God from" where? "The fish's belly." It's a pretty strange and unusual place to pray from, isn't it? a fish's belly, to say the least, right? Certainly not a place anyone would choose to pray from, I'm sure. But it was where Jonah was, isn't it? It was exactly where Jonah was. So for him, this was the place to pray. Verse 2 says, and Jonah said, I cried out to the Lord because of my affliction. And he answered me. Out of the belly of Sheol, I cried, and you heard my voice. Sheol is translated throughout the Old Testament. It's either translated as grave, as hell, or as death. It's kind of used interchangeably between the three. Most often probably translated as the grave. But Sheol really stands for all three. The grave, it stands for hell, it stands for death. And Jonah literally said, from death's belly, I prayed, from death's belly I cried out. And one thing that we see twice is you heard my voice, Jonah declared. The Lord heard Jonah's cry. The Lord heard Jonah's prayer. He heard his prayer even from the belly of that great fish. Now that illustrates two really, really good lessons for us to learn here this morning. Number one, is that God hears the prayers of his children no matter where we are. Amen? God hears the prayers of his children no matter where we are. And where includes both physically and, more importantly, spiritually. Amen? It doesn't matter where we are physically. We can be in our safe and sound inside of our house or inside a fish's belly. But more importantly, he also is talking about where we are spiritually. Amen? We can be lock in step with God's will. God will hear our prayer. Or we could be a wayward servant like Jonah. And God will still hear our prayer. Amen? He hears these prayers of repentance from his children, no matter where we are. Amen. Second important thing for us to know. We need to pray every single day because we want to. Amen. We need to pray every single day because we want to. Listen, it is far better to pray each day in the comfort of our, you know, normal surroundings, whether it be our home or in our car or at work, wherever we may be. It's better for us to pray in those normal surroundings than to put it off and be forced to pray in some, you know, not so normal situations, like the belly of a fish. Amen? God is not a 911 operator, and we have to stop treating him like one. Amen. Out of thought, out of mind, until that emergency arises, then we dial him up, we get on our knees, and that's when we call upon him, only in our time of emergency. Listen, a Christian without prayer is like a balloon without air. Amen? We need to understand that. A Christian without prayer is like a balloon without air. We're completely deflated, lifeless. So now that we've seen where Jonah prayed, let's consider why he prayed. Why did he pray? Well, let's look back at verse 2 again. Jonah said, I cried out to the Lord. Why? Because of my affliction. Jonah finally prayed because of the situation, because of the affliction that he found himself in. You know, as we read through the book of Jonah, it's my belief that Jonah probably had not prayed for quite some time based on what we're reading here. I say this because his rebellious and his disobedient attitude, for one, his disobedient heart, God called him to go to Nineveh. What'd he do? He went in a complete opposite direction. He was on cruise control with his spiritual calling. He was a prophet of God, called to be the mouthpiece of God to his people. But he had been on cruise control with his spiritual calling. His spiritual responsibilities as God's servant, as his prophet. He didn't want to be bothered. He didn't want to get out of his comfort zone. And especially not for this pagan and wicked people in Nineveh. You know, sometimes as Christians, we get that same attitude, don't we? They deserve God's judgment. That is not the attitude that God's people should have. Another sign that I believe that Jonah hadn't prayed a while was where the sailors found Jonah in the middle of the storm. You remember where he was? He was down in the lowest part of the ship, sound asleep. It took an unsaved pagan sailor to get him to pray on that ship. So I want us to consider for a moment the unimaginable lengths that God was willing to go through in order to get his servant, his own prophet, his child's attention. Think about that. Now, remember, Jonah prayed because of his affliction. That's why he prayed. He says it right there in verse 2. Lord, I cried out to the Lord because of my affliction. Well, what was his current affliction? Verse 3. For you cast me into the deep, into the heart of the seas, and the floods surrounded me, and your billows and your waves, they passed over me. Jonah was finally realizing, once he was thrown overboard, when he was a bobber in the middle of that big sea, in the middle of that storm, he was finally realizing, hey, I think my Heavenly Father's trying to get my attention. Amen? Then look at verse 5. The waters surrounded me, even to my soul. The deep closed around me. Weeds were wrapped around my head. Not only was he a bobber, but then he found himself in the belly of this great fish. Weeds wrapped around his head. He was knee-deep in slop in a fish's belly, with seaweed wrapped around his head. Now, that's quite a sight. Amen. Quite a sight for one of God's children, for his servant, for his prophet. A pretty sad state for a man who was God's prophet. But that's how we all end up, apart from God. Amen. We need to understand that this is how we will all end up if we separate ourselves from God and his will and his purpose for our life. Amen. Now that we've seen where he was when he prayed and why he prayed, let's consider when Jonah prayed. Skip down to verse 7. He said, when my soul fainted within me, that's when I remembered the Lord. And my prayer went up to you into your holy temple. Bottom line, what Jonah was saying here, he says, when I finally hit rock bottom is when I finally prayed. When I hit rock bottom. Isn't that so true and so typical of our human nature? Amen? How many times have we slipped back and it took us to almost hit rock bottom, or we hit rock bottom to get us to pray? So often, God has to knock us completely flat on our back in order for us to do what? To look up. Amen? He has to let us hit rock bottom. And this is exactly where Jonah was. He was at the end of himself. He was at rock bottom. There was no more running. There was no more hiding. There was no more spiritual deafness from God's prophet. Amen? Listen, he was hearing God loud and clear now, wasn't he? God had gotten his attention. Now, Jonah was much like someone else that we read in the Bible, another very well-known character. He's very much like the prodigal son, we think about it. Let's look at Luke chapter 15. Skip down to verse 11. Then Jesus said, "A certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, 'Father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me.' So the father divided to them his livelihood. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, journeyed to a far country, and there wasted his possessions with prodigal living. But when he had spent all, there arose a severe famine in that land, and he began to be in want. Then he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and the citizen sent him to feed into the fields to feed swine, to feed the pigs." Now, to put it in a greater context, we need to understand the Jewish perception of swine. That was like the lowest of the low. They wouldn't even go near pigs. And now this prodigal had found himself feeding those pigs. Verse 16. "And he would gladly have filled his stomach with the food that the swine ate, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, 'How many of my father's hired servants have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you, and am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants.'" Jonah found himself knee-deep in slop inside a great fish's belly. Where did the prodigal find himself? He found himself knee-deep in slop with pigs inside a pig pen. Both really give us a vivid illustration. They give us a vivid lesson of our spiritual walk with God. When we are spiritually hungry, we will settle for eating slop with the pigs. But when we reach that point of spiritual starvation, that's when we finally come to ourselves. That's when we finally come home to our Heavenly Father. Amen? When we're spiritually hungry, you'll be really amazed what you settle for. But it's not until that point that we hit absolute rock bottom. When we are spiritually starving, that's the point when we finally come home. And what a homecoming it was. Look at verse 20. "And he arose and he came to his father. But when he was still a great way off, his father saw him and he had compassion. And he ran, and he fell on his neck, and he kissed him. And the son said to his father, he said, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his servants, 'Bring out the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet, and bring the fatted calf here and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is now found,' and they began to be merry." Now that's a homecoming. Amen. The question is, how about you this morning? Are you here and tired of running from God? Are you tired of living in your past, living in that past guilt and that past shame? You tired of trying to carry all those burdens all by yourself? Aren't you ready to come home? Aren't you ready to come home to your Heavenly Father? Jesus is waiting with his arms wide open. Amen. Waiting with his arms wide open. For Jonah, after his spiritual homecoming, just notice the condition of his heart. Verse 7, he said, "When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord." Verse 8, "Those who regard worthless idols forsake their own mercy." Jonah was including himself in that verse, that he was forsaking God's mercy. And look at verse 9. "But I will sacrifice to you with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay what I have vowed." Jonah was literally saying, "Look, Lord, I'm now going to do my part. I'm going to keep my vow. I'm going to keep my promises that I made to you. I'm going to start obeying your voice." And then he finally declares, he says, "Salvation is of the Lord." Jonah's spiritual homecoming in the belly of that fish. Now that God has finally gotten the attention of his servant, he has finally gotten Jonah's attention. Now that Jonah had nowhere else to run, now that Jonah had finally hit rock bottom, Jonah finally has that change of heart. His spiritual eyes were opened once again. His spiritual ears could once again hear the voice of his Lord. And he fully understands why he is where he is at. He looked in that spiritual mirror and he said, "Lord, it's my fault. I am in this fish's belly because of my own bad decisions." And the result, verse 10. "So the Lord spoke to the fish, and it vomited Jonah onto dry land." It's quite a thought, isn't it? Getting vomited out of the fish's belly. So let me wrap up with a few points of encouragement. As a child of God, if we are in the will of God, doing the work of God, we are untouchable. Amen? If we are in the will of God, doing the work of God, that is God's purpose for us, then we are untouchable. No one can come up against us. Amen? We need to understand that. Nothing or no one can touch us. God will keep us. He will absolutely protect us. He will do whatever is necessary for us to accomplish what he has set out for us to accomplish. Amen? He will do whatever is necessary for us to accomplish his will and his purpose for our life, whatever our calling is. Amen? Nothing for us to fear if we are in God's will and doing his work. No reason to worry, no reason to fear anything. We are untouchable until our course is run. Amen? Number two, Jonah here is a beautiful picture of deliverance. Yes, you have to look beyond that disturbing picture of him with seaweed wrapped around his head inside the fish's belly. You have to look past he being vomited out of the fish's belly. But what we need to see is that God did deliver Jonah, didn't he? Not the way Jonah probably imagined, not the way that we would even imagine, but God delivered Jonah safely and unharmed onto dry land, didn't he? Why? because Jonah finally came to that realization that he was hopeless and that he was helpless apart from his Lord. Amen. Jonah had a calling. He had a purpose in his life. He was God's servant. He was God's prophet, and God had him sent him to Nineveh. Jonah disobeyed, and he went in a complete opposite direction. So God had to get his attention, get him back on the right path. Let him realize that he is hopeless and he is helpless if he wants to run away from God. The same situation that we are all in. Jonah had to come to that realization. Inside that fish's belly, he said, "Salvation is of the Lord." He had to cry out and say, "Lord, save me." A truth that applies to all of us, all of mankind. We are absolutely helpless and hopeless apart from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We all must call out to the Lord, "Save me." Amen. Don't waste another day knee deep in the slop of your sins. Amen. Don't waste another day knee-deep in the slop of this world's wickedness. Just call out to the Lord, no matter where you are.